Today's shiur is entitled Kisadom Hayinu Lamora Diminu. It is being given in the context of Shabbos Chazon, the most tragic Shabbos of the year before Tisha B'Av. However, its relevance also extends to the parshiyot dealing with Sodom, namely those of Lech Lecha and Vayera. In the Haftorah of Chazon Yeshayahu, we are told in the ninth pasuk, Lule Hashem Sivakot Hotir Lanu Sarid Kima'at Kistom Hayinu La'amora Diminu. Had not God, the Master of Legions, left us a trace of a remnant, we would have been like Sodom. We would have resembled Amorah. The Gemara tells us that one should always be careful about what he says. Al tiftach peh l'satan. Do not open your mouth and allow the Satan to then utilize what you have said against you. And they learn that from this particular statement. Because first Klal Yisrael is presented as saying, if it would not have been for Hashem, we would have been wiped out like Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the next pasuk it says, Shimu devar Hashem kitzinei Sodom, hazinu torat elokeinu am amora. As long as you brought it up, you're not so wrong. Hear the word of Hashem, O chiefs of Sodom. Give ear to the Torah of our God, O people of Amorah. It turns out that actually that statement that was made by Klal Yisrael was one that was accurate concerning their behavior and the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. We know that in the Gemara, in Masechet Shabbat, that there are various reasons given for the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. We know that we generally identify the reason for the first Chorban with the three great Averot of murder, adultery, and Avodah Zarah, and idolatry. We know that we generally identify the reason for the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash with Sinat Chinam, with causeless hatred. However, there are many, many reasons that the Gemara gives why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. For example, there are those who say that they did not make a bracha before they learned Torah. There are those who say that they did not rebuke each other, and if they would have, then they would have gone on the correct path. There are those who say that they were Machalal Shabbos, that the fact that they did not keep Shabbos was the reason for the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. There are those who say that they did not go Lifnin Meshurat Adin. They did not go in accordance with the beyond the letter of the law. They only went strictly with the letter of the law. If they would have gone beyond the letter of the law, so God would have gone beyond the letter of the law with them and showed them mercy. There are those who say, as it says often in the Navi, that they did not do Tzedakah or Mishpat. They did not show proper mercy toward especially the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. There are so many reasons for the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. In fact, the predecessor to my position as the Rav in Cincinnati at Congregation of Gudis Yisrael, Rabbi David Indich, Zichron Livracha, once told me in the name of his Rabbi Rav Bloch from Taos in Cleveland, that he would say that any time you have the Gemara, or even Mefarshim perhaps, giving many, many different explanations to something that occurred, it is a sign, it is a simon, that the event that took place is so difficult to understand that really while we have little hints at coming to some comprehension of how it could be, we really do not have the full picture at all in our hands. So for example, Rav Bloch said, the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu. So many different mefarshim give so many different suggestions as to what the chait was of Moshe Rabbeinu at Mei Meriva, why he was not allowed then to go into Eretz Yisrael. Or the chait of Nadav and Avihu. We know the Gemara says, gives so many different explanations as to why Nadav and Avihu had to be killed. and why they had to suffer that fate, even though they were supposedly great tzaddikim. And so too, the Korban Beis Hamikdash. There are so many reasons given to understand that incredible mystery of how the Jews could have sinned to such a degree that it would influence God to even allow His Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed. It's something we will never fully understand. And yet, according to the shir that we are looking at today in considering, we have just read psukim that say that Klal Yisrael, yet another Aveira, were like Sodom and Amorah. What does it mean that they were like Sodom and Amorah? What are we to understand by that statement? In his work Elohei Moadai, Rav Schlesinger, the Rav of the city of Gilo in Eretz Yisrael, suggests the following. He suggests that the Midat Sodom we are talking about in this particular case is the fact that the people of that city took what was a mitzvah and made it into an aveira, and took an aveira and made it into a mitzvah. And that became the entire system by which they lived. So, for example, we know that they took Achnasas Orchim, which is the greatest mitzvah, to bring strangers into your home, and that they would punish a person who would engage in Achnasas Orchim. We see it from Lot, who had brought in strangers into his home, and of course the people of Sodom tried to break into his house as a result and to take them. We also know, for example, that there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuftet, which says as follows. It says that there was one woman, Daf Kuftet Amud Bet Masechet Sanhedrin, there's a woman who regularly would bring bread to the poor in Sodom. And when this became known, they put honey all over her body, and then they took her and put her on a rooftop or on a wall and tied her up, and then swarms of bees came and stung her to death. That is the hatred they had toward anyone who were to try to fill the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. And there are other examples in Medrash as well. So too, we know, with reference to homosexuality, they wanted to know the people who Lot had taken in, know them intimately. In other words, homosexuality was also one of the major sins of the people of Sodom. And they saw it as something that was a mitzvah, as opposed to an aveira, totally transforming the normative view. As we know, we are told in a medrash discussing why God destroyed the world at the time of Noah, there is a medrash that says that the Ribono Shelom did not destroy the world at the time of Noah until two men came to the court and they demanded that a document be written out for them that would be an official document that they were married to each other. In other words, it's one thing if Ribono Shelom knew that there was sin taking place. Human beings will sin. But it's another thing when the people who are doing sins make their sins into mitzvahs, make their sins into something that they are not embarrassed about, that they document as in fact being okay, being official, not being a problem. And of course with homosexuality, this is a problem we have in our very world this day. In fact, this would explain why there are Mefarshim who say, and sources that say, that the people of Sodom, Perutzim Hayubahem, they were very much into their Aveiras without any shame. Osim Ha'ra'ot, the Farhesia, the Rigilim Bahem, they would regularly do their sins, and they would do them in public. How do we understand this? Why would they do this in public? And we can understand it in accordance with what Rav Schlesinger has said. That basically, if something becomes okay, something that was neveira becomes a mitzvah, becomes something that's legally okay to be done, and if you can get a document, as we said, that identifies that this is officially okay as part of society, then as a result, obviously there will be no shame, and no one will recognize that there's anything wrong with what they're doing. They won't even try to do it in private and to hide their terrible avaras. They will do it in public. They have no fear, and there's nothing to be afraid of. They don't even know that there's something wrong with what they are doing. The Rashbam says, in reference to Avram Avinu's argument with God to save the people of Sodom, if there be a certain amount of people in Sodom, he says, "Afilu echad mina asara shamar Abraham lo nimsa behem." Even one out of the 10 that Abraham argued down to in order to save the city of Sodom could not be found in that city, in those towns. Why not? Seems strange. But we can answer it with what we've been saying. Because, again, if it was presumed to be legal what was being done, in fact, the mitzvah, so then there was no embarrassment, as we said, and furthermore, there would be no one who would think there's anything wrong with it. Not even one person there would think there's anything wrong with it. If it's on the books, if you're raised in that type of society to think that everything is okay, we know that Chazal tell us that if a person does an aveira once, he still recognizes it's an aveira. If a person does an aveira twice, naselo keheter, it becomes like it's permitted for him to do it already. He doesn't even have any bad feelings about it anymore. They once asked Rav Yisrael Salanter, and what if a person does an aveira three times? Then what? Rav Yisrael Salanter said, so that's when a person thinks not only is there a heter, not only is it permitted to do this aveira, but it's a mitzvah to do such an aveira. It's a mitzvah. And indeed, that's what we had in the people of Sodom. We have people like that today, I hate to say it, in our congregations. We have people who take a mitzvah of Kiddush and they make it into an aveira by making it into a Kiddush club. We have people who take davening, the greatest mitzvah to connect to Hashem, and they throw in all sorts of discussions and conversations in the Makom HaKadosh of the Beit HaKnesset. And by so doing, they take this mitzvah experience in that atmosphere and they characterize it with aveira. And it becomes not only a heter, but they think there's a mitzvah to do it. I once spoke to an individual about his talking in shul, and this person, I hate to say, was a shtickel talmid chacham. And I told him that it was wrong to talk in shul. And he actually argued with me that it's a mitzvah to talk in shul, he holds. I said, that's impossible. How could that be? He said, it's a mitzvah to talk in shul because today when so many people are cold to each other and not warm and not reaching out to each other, and because of the pirud in Klal Yisrael that people aren't united, so he holds it's a mitzvah to talk in shul to try to connect and unite people in the community. Can you believe that? Taking a mitzvah experience and making it into the greatest aveira. We are told in a Medrash that indeed their legal system was as we are describing. So Medrash it says as follows: Arba'a dayanim hayu b'Sodom. There were four judges who ruled in Sodom. What were their names? One's name was Shakrai, the liar. One's name was Shakrurai, I imagine a bigger liar. One judge's name was Ziphai. Ziphai, the one who corrupts. And one's name was Matadin, the one who sets aside the law. And different situations are described concerning how these judges would function. For example, it says, Ha'over at Nahar b'ma'arava, b'ma'avara, a person who would cross the river on a bridge. Okay, so it makes sense if someone built that bridge, they have a right to tax the person, and they would tax such a person for zuzim. But ha'over b'mayim, if someone wouldn't use the bridge, and they would swim across, and get across on their own accord, they wouldn't use the bridge the person built. Notein shmona zuzim. Then you had to pay 8 zuzim, you had to pay even more than if you used the bridge. It's unbelievable. Then the following case once occurred. An individual swam across the river, and they told him he owed 8 zuzim, even though he swam across on his own, more than if he would have used the bridge. He brought the case to courts, and in courts it became known that when he did not give the money to them, the 8 zuzim, then they also beat him up. They made him bleed. So he was also arguing that they assaulted him and that he should get damages for that. And what did the judges rule? They say, first of all, you owe him 8 zuzim, like you said, because you swam across. They were right, you swam across. You should have used the bridge. And moreover, because they caused you to bleed, bloodletting, we know, was also always considered in that time and even until very recently, considered to be something that was a healing for a person, and thereby because they helped you bleed and they did something good for you, so furthermore, you owe him even more money, this person. You owe them even more money. Shehekis dam, because they bloodlet you, so give him more money. Eliezer, Eved Avraham, once was in the vicinity of Sodom, and they beat him up, and they caused him to bleed. They assaulted him. And he came before the judge, one of these judges. And the verdict of the judge after hearing it was, Eliezer, now he was Menkis Dam for you. Again, he healed you. He did something good for you. He did something medically good for you. So thereby, you owe him. You have to pay him. Eliezer, of course, looked in disbelief. So Eliezer took a stone and he threw it at the judge. And he wounded him, and he caused him to bleed. And the judge said, what are you doing? How dare you such contempt for the judge? What do you think you're doing? And Eliezer said, what do you mean contempt? Like you said, I just did you a favor. I caused you to bleed. So consequently, you owe me, because I did something good for you. But I'll tell you what, instead of paying me, just pay this other person you say that I owe. Just pay him, and then my money will just stay in my pocket, and we'll just leave that as it is. Again, an indication from the Medrash of the Rishus, of the pure evil that was carried out by these people in Sodom. With this understanding as well, I believe we can now make sense of something that seems somewhat strange to me, that is said almost every time in reference to the destruction of Sodom. We are told when the Ribono Shel Olam destroys Sodom, we're always told that he does so, the language uses that he does so, b'mahafacha. He turned over Sodom. He turned over Sodom, for example, and Rav Jacobson, in his beautiful work on the Haftorahs, brings this down, not what I'm going to say, but he brings down some of these makaros. I thank him for that. He says, in Amos, it says, Hafachti bachem, kemafechat elokim et Sodom yet Amora. He said to the Jewish people, he's going to overturn them like he overturned Sodom and Amora. Yishayahu yud gimel yud tet tekaf. He says again that there's going to be a situation, kemafechat elokim et Sodom v'amora. And then in Yirmiyah, nun lem, another statement, kemafechat elokim et Sodom v'et amora. So we see that every time the destruction of Sodom is described, it's described in the strange way of the nefach, mafacha, a turning upside down. Why is this? Why didn't it just say God was mashchit at Sodom? Why doesn't God just destroy Sodom in a language that he uses for the destruction of other peoples? Destroyed Egypt, he brought Makos on. Why is it the mafacha in terms of the destruction of Sodom? I think the answer is clear. It's midah keneged midah. It's measure for measure. Just like the people of Sodom, they turned the law on its head. They took mitzvahs and they made them into aveiras. And they took aveiras and they made them into mitzvahs. And they totally turned the system upside down in terms of how humanity is supposed to function. So too, therefore, the punishment fitting the crime was a mahafacha, was a turning over of the cities of Sodom. But as it happened, we mentioned that Yeshayahu says that the people of time were like the people of Sodom. But in fact, they were even worse. They were even worse. Because now there are other sources that go on to say, like Yeshayahu, Aleph, Yud, where there, after, I should say, like Yeshayahu, Gimel, Tet, where it says initially, Chatatam Kisidom, or in Yirmiyahu, Kav Gimel Yudalid, where it says, Kulam Kisidom, V'yoshiveha Ka'amora, as we said in our Pasuk of Chazon. While it said that initially, but later it goes on to say that they were even worse than Sodom. In Echa Dalid Vav, V'yigdal Avon Batami Mechatat Sodom, Hafucha Kimoraga, there it says that the sin of my nation, God says, became even greater than the sin of Sodom, which was turned over just in a moment, and it was over. And the enemy did not come to shame the people. It was done, Rashi says, by Malachim. And it was done just in a moment, as opposed to Klal Yisrael, where the enemy shamed them and brought them low. And moreover, the suffering would continue. It wasn't just one time, but it would continue throughout the generations. The Jewish people became even worse than Sodom, as Yechezkel also says in Tet Zayin, Mem Vav Tenun Bet, Chayani Ne'um Hashem, Imasta Sodom Achotcha Hi Uvenoteha, Kasher Asita At Uvenotecha, Vitarbi et Tovotecha, Mehena, Vitatziki et Achotecha, Vikol Tovetecha, Asher Asita. And it says in Yechezkel that God swears that Sodom did not carry out the sins the way that you carried them out. Like you and your children, you did abominations that were even worse than those of Sodom. You made Sodom look like they were righteous compared to the abominations that you engaged in. Rav Schlesinger points out in his article the following. We know that in the davening, as we daven every day, we have two prayers that seem to be very much quite similar to each other. And they're right next to each other in the davening. We say first, Hashiveinu avinu l'toratecha, v'akseni b'tshuva shlema l'fanecha, b'ruchat Hashem arotze b'tshuva. God, our Father, return us to your Torah. Return us in complete repentance before you. Blessed are you, O God, who desires repentance. Then right afterwards we say, Selach lanu avinu ki chatanu, mechal lanu makinu ki fashanu, ki kel mochel v'seachata v'ruchat Hashem chanun ar mebeli slolach. And then we say afterwards, forgive us, God, our Father, for we have sinned. Forgive us, our Father, because we have transgressed. For you are a forgiving and an overlooking God who overlooks our sins. Blessed be God who is gracious and who is great in forgiveness. So these brachas that are next to each other, they seem to be somewhat related to each other. Why do you need them both? What's the idea of having both of them? So Rav Schlesinger explains that we say first, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Torah, Ribbono Shel Olam, we want to do tshuva, we want to come close to you again, we want to return to you. But then we understand, Selach Lanu Avinu, in order for one to do tshuva, to return to Hashem, one has to be makir et achet, as we know, is the first requirement brought down in the Gemara and in the Rambam and Ilchas Tshuva, in terms of one who wants to take the steps toward returning to Hashem. First, one has to be makir achet. First, one has to realize that he has sinned. If one does not realize that he has sinned, then clearly he is not going to be able to do tshuva. So after Ashiveinu Hashem L'Torahtecha, our sincere plea that we should do tshuva and God should help us, then it has to be fine. Then you have to, however, confess what your sins are. Recognize what your sins are. If you do not do that, you cannot be forgiven. This is why I would suggest that Sodom had to be destroyed, because there was no longer a recognition, a hakarat achet. That's why the time of Noah and his generation, there too, the world had to be destroyed. As the Medrash said that we quoted about homosexuality, that there was no longer a recognition that such a thing was wrong, a recognition of chet that everyone was involved and immersed in. And so too, one could even claim in our time, with the prohibition of arayos especially, and terrible averas that take place in our society and world today, we are on the verge of another such of destruction, if perhaps, although God has said there would never be another flood, but there could be another destruction of another type. As we, most of us in our world today, many of us, are not makir the chet, do not see the sins that civilization has now decided to engage in. And moreover, as we mentioned, not only do people not see that they are considered to be sins, they take these sins and they want documents and they want laws to show that they are okay, that one can engage in them. I once saw, when the first question came up concerning homosexuality, if there could be homosexual marriages. And the Reform Movement came out, and one of its authors of his opinion said that not only does he hold that now in our time that homosexual marriage should be something that we tolerate, something that we permit, but he said this quote, it should go from something that was described in the Torah as being toheva, an abomination, to now being something that we can describe with kedusha, as something being kedushin, the true essence of marriage, as being something that has the character of holiness to it. When we reach that level of Sodom and Amorah, of not recognizing that something is a chet, taking a chet and making into a mitzvah, something kadosh, and something kadosh and making into a chet, when we reach again that level of being like Klal Yisrael was, it says in the Haftarah of Chazon, Yeshayahu Navi says, of being like Sodom and Amorah, and not understanding that we're even doing wrong anymore, that will lead us, as it led us then, to Chorban, as it did then to the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. And certainly, the ability to recognize that these things are averas, and to be metakein those particular averas, will lead us to the binyan Beis Hamikdash. May it happen, b'mehera, b'yameinu.